Sports Illustrated's NBA Show, breaking down the latest news, rumors, and everything in between. Here's your host, Rohan Adekunle.
Welcome back to the Crossover Podcast. I'm Rohan Adekunle. Joining me on the show today is a senior writer at The Ringer. He left this show to podcast with a younger Indian person. It's our good buddy, Michael the Pod Pina. Mike, how's it going?
It's great. That intro is very professional, and then it just went off the rails into being unprofessional.
I think it's snap of fingers. I think what you are taking as unprofessional is me presenting strictly facts. Those are two undeniable facts about the situation. I don't know.
That's fair.
Our listeners, the people who email us and DM us like what happened, deserve to know the truth. Mike and I are going to bring back a gimmick. I don't know what you want to call it. That you came up with 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. That I think is, like, some would say the best podcast we've ever done.
It was definitely the most contentious.
Yeah, it was, and we've had some contentious podcasts. We are going to rank the top 10 duos in the NBA. Surely we will be on the same page about that. But before we get into that, I want to talk about the FIBA World Cup, which Mike has been dutifully tweeting about at all wee hours of the morning.
Before you get into this, I don't do that. Like,
are you kidding me?
I've sent maybe a total 15 tweets throughout the entire tournament.
I've watched two games,
so I don't even know why I'm the subject of your ire.
That is at least 15 more tweets than I've sent about it. And I'm pretty sure I saw, like, well, why isn't Mikal Bridges shooting more this morning?
Yeah, he should have shot more.
I want to talk about the FIBA World Cup for a brief moment here. Only because, when did everyone have a secret meeting that I wasn't invited to about how we're going all in on the FIBA World Cup this year? And I see, like, oh, like, look at this post-up set from Slovenia and Serbia against, and, oh, JJJ, I thought you were the defensive player of the year. Let's just call it what it is, okay? But Team USA is not a basketball team. It is like, which 15 guys can we get to play in this tournament 1 month from now? That's what happened, okay? Calling them a basketball team is very generous. USA basketball has not been interesting since 1992, okay? It was cool. The Dream Team was cool, all right? It's very simple. If they send the best American players, they will win. If not, realistically, it's obvious we don't care that much. And people are like, everyone's like, Steve Kerr, this has proved my coaching thing about him, blah, blah, blah. They lost by 2 points in the semifinals with a fake team of guys who they're like, clearly the third or fourth choice, and everyone's making such a big deal out of it. I don't get it, and I'm tired of it.
Well, I just wrote a column today about that loss in which functionally the thesis is that no one should care about this. So once again, I am not your enemy here. I don't know why I was bullied into that corner. It's just people like basketball. And if you don't like basketball, then I don't know what to tell you, Rohan. Team USA has not been interesting since 92. Were you even born? Like, what is even going on?
Don't
right
get me started. It's like, we need a Redeem Team documentary. It's like, oh, you're telling me the team with LeBron, Wade, and Kobe won a gold medal? Oh, how cool. I'm over it. I'm just over it. It's very simple. If they send the best basketball players, they will win. If not, like, who cares? Who cares? It's more interesting. It's also way more interesting when other countries win. It's like, it's way more fun. It's a way better
story. You should be into this tournament.
Now I'm finally into it. For the first time all summer, I'm into it. But people are like, oh, like, what these lineup decisions, and why isn't Brandon Ingram doing this or that? And like, why? It's because it's not a real team. They just threw these guys together a month before the tournament started.
Okay. So you're being very disrespectful to the competition right now. You're being an elitist, just so
No,
you know.
I'm happy for the competition. This is my preferred outcome. I'm just like, when people are trying to dissect all the reasons why Team USA lost, know why.
I'll say, this is a different podcast, but I don't think in the Olympics you could just say if Team USA throws out the best players that they'll win. I don't think we're at that stage of the
you
sport.
You think if we put anymore. Steph, Book, KD, LeBron, and AD on the Olympic team, you don't think they're coming back with gold?
Steph like isn't going to play. He's
that's
never
what
played.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying though. Since that's the only reason why. It's because we're not actually sending our like 10 best players.
Even so, like you know me. Give me Serbia. Give me
sure.
Jokic.
Sure, absolutely.
Jokic and the Bogdanovic brothers. Let's go.
I think you mean, I'm sorry, I think you're confused. I think you mean Jovic is the name you're actually looking for there.
You missed it. If you didn't watch, I woke up at 4:30 today. I was watching Jovic. Where's your commitment?
Go. Good. Learn the
future
game.
Future Portland Trailblazer? is he on the Blazers yet? I've been sleeping all summer.
I think he's off the table now, apparently. So anyway, let's not get too sidetracked here because I do want to get into our top 10 duos ranking, and I'm going to let you go first. I know you love to have like 10 honorable mentions.
I was literally about to say, can we do honorable mentions first?
Yes.
Or do you want to save them? Should we save them for the end? Because then it kind of takes a little bit of the spice out of it.
Sure. But I want to do one dishonorable mention before we start. One duo that was previously on the list that I'm sick of, that I'm like, don't talk to me about this duo ever again. And that's Joel Embiid and James Harden. I'm just I'm done with both of you. Unserious. Can I tell you a Sixers take I've been brewing on, by the way?
Sure.
If Joel Embiid was as good as Sixers fans say he is, and if Tyrese Maxey was as good as the Sixers front office says he is, they would trade James Harden for the Clippers spare parts. Because, I mean, if Embiid is better than Jokic and Tyrese Maxey's this budding all-star, I don't remember the Nuggets being this three-headed all-star juggernaut. No one had Aaron Gordon as, you know, what, a top 30 player in the NBA before last year. So if Embiid is the MVP, this two-way dominating force that everyone says is better than Jokic, why do they need a third star? Why do they need, you know, another James Harden type of Tyrese Maxey's waiting in the wings? I just think it's a little revealing how high the bar is for who they have to trade James Harden for.
I'm just going to say I agree, and I don't really want to go too... I'll just say I agree. It's a great take. Great take,
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, Mike. So you want to save your honorable mentions?
Yeah, let's save the honorable mentions because there's some on here that maybe people would think that you or I have on our top tens. Mm. And so let's jump. You want me to go first?
Yes, please. Give me your 10th best duo in the NBA.
Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr.
Mm.
And before we go too much further into this exercise, let me just say, like, in terms of the ranking process, how did you balance out just pure talent versus like two teammates who complement each other and are like the sum is better than the two guys who make the sum better than individual parts the most? How did you kind of figure that out?
It's a great question. It's a wild mixture of who do I really enjoy watch playing was an important part of my list.
Mm-hmm.
One part of it was like, would I want this duo in NBA Jam? Like, would this be a good NBA Jam duo?
Okay.
Another part of it was, do they win? Do I feel like this duo wins? Do they kind of like, do they strike fear into other teams as a duo? And then another part of it was availability, because I'm going to be honest.
Uh-oh.
Well, let's get spicy off the top.
Can I talk about my 10 yet? Like, I haven't.
Yes, you
to
can. You
yet.
Can. You asked me a question before. You said before we get into it. Can I?
I could sense. I could sense you were about to take a left turn that would just throw everything off the rails.
Well, I'm just gonna say John JJJ didn't make my list.
Okay, that's fair. That's perfectly. There's a lot of duos. A lot of duos.
Yes, and a big huge part of that is Jaws got the suspension, and Also, the Grizzlies starting five has played 160 minutes together last year. Again, that's not their fault specifically, but the starting five that they've had the last few years, it's been really good, has in fact barely played together. So they're on like a probationary period for me. But anyway, you can go ahead and talk about John and JJJ.
So what I'll say is they played over 800 minutes together last season. Mm-hmm. And that's a low number. Mm-hmm. And Ja had his issues, and Jaren Jackson Jr. started the season with an injury. Their net rating when they were on the court together, and I looked up the net ratings in the regular season and the playoffs for all the duos that I have ranked in my top 10, and theirs is plus 14.5 in the regular season, which is absolutely an absurd number. Mm-hmm. So I initially actually had these two as an honorable mention, and then as I was kind of, you know, going through it, and looking at some of the data and just thinking deeper about it, because you were late for this podcast and I had some extra time to spare. It's just like Ja's amazing. I get mm-hmm. that he was suspended. He's going through some stuff. Ja's amazing. Jaren Jackson Jr. is the reigning defensive player of the year. And like they make so much sense together. You got the pick and roll, pick and pop. Jaren Jackson Jr. makes up for so many of Ja's deficiencies on the defensive end. And when you have a big who can space, who's got great hands, who can score in the post, I just think like they harmonize well. So mm-hmm. I gave them the nod. Plus, they do win a lot of games.
Yes, yes. Listen, they're good. It's unassailable. I have no issues with that. They're like a true honorable mention for me. I just, looking ahead to the season, just the Ja suspension, it played a big role in this for me, even though people are going to say I'm hypocritical when I get further into my list, and that's fine. It's my list. I mean, they're great. What have you made of I know I just went on this whole FIBA rant, but there's been a lot of JJJ discourse. How do you feel about it? Because people are like, he's fouling too much.
He only had one foul today.
Maybe the key is him fouling. That's been a reason they've been successful, but do you think that is like a? It is frustrating. I mean, you know, the Grizzlies fans come back with all like, this is the number of times he's actually had five fouls, etc. But to me, the bigger issue is when he picks up those early fouls and has to come out. Like, his minutes per game is like not particularly high for a player of his talent. What do you make of the foul discourse?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to it, and it's slightly overblown. I did not have him first for Defensive Player of the Year on my ballot. I had Draymond Green. And
famously.
If it was a per-minute award, then sure. Per-minute, yeah. He was killer. But you're right. He didn't really play enough, I thought, relative to some of the other really great defenders in the league. I mean, just watch his overall play has not been like good in FIBA. Mm-hmm. So beyond the fouling, and I think maybe he's potentially in his head a little bit, it's become so much ingrained with his narrative as a player, which is unfortunate. Super skilled, love so much about him. He was asked recently by Memphis Grizzlies social media team, who's the best player in the NFL? And he responded, Tebow, which I thought was really funny. So love Jaren Jackson Jr. And I hope he just is a little bit more disciplined on that end. And I'm sure he will be as he goes throughout his career.
So my number 10 duo, and I don't even necessarily love this duo, but I have to show them respect for what they did last year. I want to talk about the duo that was the driving force of, statistically, the best offense in NBA history. And that's De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, who, even though I think Sabonis was a little bit exposed in that playoff series against Golden State, I think, frankly, outplayed by Kevon Looney. I don't think you can argue against that. What they did in the regular season last year...
Well, nobody stomped on Looney's chest, but continue.
That's true. And also... not to be people forget guy on a podcast, but Sabonis played the entire second half of last year with a messed up thumb that he could have gotten surgery on, and he said, no, I'm going to play, and I have a lot of respect for that. And you want to talk about duos. This isn't just like the two best players on the team. It's they are doing everything together, and that's the driving force of their success. The pistol actions they run, I mean... The speed at which they play within the half court, it's a ton of fun to watch. It really is. They were awesome last year. Scenario number 10 is Fox and Sabonis, even though I'm hoping that the Sabonis we saw in the first round against the Warriors is the kind of playoff series that motivates him to add more to his game instead of being the kind of playoff series that's kind of a sign of things to come in his career.
They were an honorable mention for me. Mm-hmm. Really nothing bad to say about them. I just thought that 10 other... It's just really tough. People actually go through and look at the duos in the NBA right now, it's just insane talent. So
yeah,
they're great. Really benefited from health last year, mm-hmm. which is one reason to, if you were down on the Kings this upcoming season, that would be why. They had a lot of health luck. Maybe they don't get that this year. We'll see. But best offense ever. And Fox was just such an animal in the playoffs.
I was just excited to see them play in meaningful basketball games. Like Fox's career was kind of going the other way. I mean, there's people who thought they should have kept Halliburton over him. It was just awesome to see them. Fox was, I mean, if he doesn't get hurt in that series, maybe they do end up winning it.
Sure.
Man, that was a fun series. All right, so that's my number 10 duo. Let me hear your number 9.
It's Embiid and Harden. I'm sorry.
Come on, dude. What is you don't want to be...
I can't... Okay, dude. I can't have the league... Like, you know how I feel about all this stuff, because we text frequently. I can't have the league MVP and, you know, a former... How many MVPs has Harden won?
He won one players MVP and one media MVP, I think.
Okay.
Remember when the players voted on their own awards for, like, 2 years? Yeah.
That was terrible. I can't, like, you know... Together, they had a really good regular season. Harden, you know, we talked about like complimenting each other. Harden assisted Embiid 244 times last year, which was 90 more than any other duo. So their pick and roll makes a lot of sense. Really hard to stop unless you're the Boston Celtics. And yeah, it's just they are really good, talented tandem. And so I had to have them somewhere on this list. I apologize to you.
They would have been high on this list for me if they didn't. The Game 7 loss obscures, even though people do talk about it, how much of a just flagrant choke job Game 6 of the Eastern Conference semifinals was. Like, Embiid not even, like, shooting. I think he took one shot in the last 4 minutes. P.J. Tucker needing to get in his face. Like, bro, you can't keep passing out of single coverage against Al Horford. Even though he probably should have, because Al Horford was clamping his ass. Just that was one of the more disgraceful duo performances I've seen in the last few minutes of a basketball game in such a long time. Like, rivaling Kawhi and PG in the bubble, which frankly came under such different circumstances. You are at home. Jason Tatum's having the worst game of his life, and you can't close it out. That was, to me, just unforgivable. A despicable performance that... should follow them around until one of them is, like, you know, they have to bury that one deeply with some kind of playoff run to take the stench off that. Just,
I mean,
disgusting
they might
performance.
Not, might
exactly.
Not be
and they might not even
a
be a
duo
this year. Yes. Okay. My number 9 duo, this is like a hedge. It's Kawhi Leonard and Paul George.
It's disrespectful. Continue.
They don't play. No, Jerry West went on Paul George's podcast and said to his face, "You don't play enough basketball with Kawhi Leonard." And I it's been like years since they've played in a playoff series together. It's been years since they finished a playoff series together. I just, like, who, if you told me, asked me, who's going to play more minutes together this year? Harden or Embiid or Kawhi and PG? I don't know who I would pick.
Just, okay, stop. Just settle down, please. Please settle down. They played 1,000 minutes together last year. Like, just, you know, it's not like they're hurt 100% of the time. Like, it's just like a 2-time finals MVP, one of the best players ever.
Kawhi does a great job in the playoffs when he's playing against a team on its last legs. I love playoff Kawhi. No, I just want to see it. I just want to see it, Mike. Like, it's too rare for me. I have zero faith in them staying healthy at this point. They're only getting older. They're only getting older.
What are they, 32 and 31? Like, come on. Everyone calm down. In my opinion, calm down. It's okay. It'll be fine. They'll be okay.
Kawhi is out here hoping on like Joe Biden's knees. That's the I need to see a video of him walking up onto the team's private plane. I need the video of it before I'm moving them any higher. They are awesome in theory, and it's very exciting when they do play together. It just doesn't happen enough for me. So that's my number 9, and I'm sticking with it.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you where I had Kawhi and PG yet. We'll get there eventually.
Yeah, we'll get there. So you can tell me your number 8 duo then.
So my number 8 is... It's a little tricky. Maybe you can settle this. I have one player down. His name is Giannis Antetokounmpo. And then I have Drew Holiday as his co-pilot, I guess. Yeah. Just because Middleton's whole health situation is very tenuous, and Drew plays a ton. They played a ton together last year. Drew rarely gets hurt. I know during the championship run, it was mostly like the Middleton Giannis pick and roll. So this was tough for me to kind of figure out. But I had Holiday as the natural other part of this twosome. And I don't know. Giannis is great, and Drew's awesome. They totally flamed out in the first round together. Drew Holiday, great. Great defender, brutalized.
That was in, mean. Like I was
uncomfortable in, fashion.
As I was watching it, I was like, "This is a little mean." Like, I don't know that I'd say that it's a big Jimmy Butler fan. I was like, "Oh, this is a little mean."
But when I watched Drew, honestly, like I've always thought, you know, the thing about Drew is always like he's the most underrated player in the league. That's what people have said about him forever, and I have a lot of respect for him. I do think the defense is legit, of course. I've always thought for the last couple years at least that his offense is overrated.
It's too
particularly
inconsistent
in the playoffs.
Yes.
Yeah, but I just think his like decision making is like wacky sometimes.
I mean, he's had games where he's like, it's like, dude, why are you taking 28 shots? Because you're making 7 no matter what. You can take 7 or 28 and you're making 7. Like,
yeah, he's super physical. I just think like sometimes if he were to tone it down and take a step back a little bit, he'd be more efficient and more effective given who else is on his team. But yeah, they're 8 here. I had to put Giannis in. I mean, one of the best players of his generation.
Of course. Even though I know deep down you're a Giannis hater.
It's true.
So they pop up later on my list, and I also picked Drew. I think Middleton was tough last year, man. I mean, the Heat, I know Jimmy was kind of just, who knows what got into him in that series. And as you said, he was going after Drew. It was like he was succeeding against Drew in a way that like he had to win that series. But he was targeting Middleton in a way that it was like, you were not doing that 2 years ago when they were making it to the finals. I don't know if it's just he never fully recovered from that knee injury that allowed Boston to make the finals that 1 year. But it just hopefully a full off season. I don't know what it takes, but they're in a weird spot, man. The Bucks are in a weird spot. So I agree with you. I do think Drew. Was there any part of you that thought Brooke Lopez?
No.
Okay. But they'll pop up on my list soon enough. But my number 8 duo, Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland.
Oh my God! Wow.
I'm not giving up on Mitchell and Garland.
Wow.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
Cleveland was fantastic during the regular season last year.
Yep.
And we had so many questions about their defense. When was defense ever their problem? Like, even in that Knicks series, that was a slugfest. Scoring was a bigger issue for them than the defensive side of the ball. I think that they need, you know, they tried to address the 3 spot, get some shooting this summer. You said this, and I agree, they still need, I think, a better two-way player in that spot. They still need a defender to take wing guys unless Evan Mobley grows into that player. I do think eventually they're going to have to move off Jared Allen, which I think could still yield them the kind of player that they're looking for. But, I mean, Cleveland, did they end up finishing last year with the number 1 net rating in the NBA? Like, Cleveland was fantastic during the regular season, and they just ran into a particularly bad matchup in the playoffs of getting pounded on the offensive glass, in particular Mitchell Robinson turning into Hakeem Olajuwon. But I don't know, I still have faith in this duo, and I think that were better in their first season than I thought they would be.
So why did you go those two as opposed to like Mobley? Because I actually had Mobley as an honorable mention with Mitchell.
I think Mobley will be that guy. I don't think he's that guy yet. I thought that they looked their best in the playoffs, in fact, when Garland was really aggressive. Like, I think that if he'd looked for his shot a little bit more, hunted Brunson a little bit more, that could have been a little bit better series for them. Uh-huh. I think Mobley is eventually going to be that guy, maybe even their best player. But for now, I still think it's Mitchell and Garland that kind of make them go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, without Mobley, those two don't really work on the defensive end. He was so important, and he played so
for sure. That's a great point. I don't disagree with that.
So yeah, that's low key spicy. I mean, that's a very good duo.
Just a little masala, you know, try to keep it interesting. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I like it though.
They had the second best net rating in the NBA last year.
Best defense.
Boston. Best defense. Right. And they were closer. I mean, they were way closer to number one than Philly was to them at number three. I mean, Philly was the gap between three and six is the same as the gap between one and two. So Cleveland was just really good last year when those guys were healthy.
They were. All right. This is where we're going to probably start to argue.
Oh,
my number
God,
seven.
It's Jimmy. This is a joke.
And it's Bam.
This is a joke. I mean, this is an absolute joke. Seven?
Dude, the six duos that I have in front of them are all lights out. Like, they're very good.
This is embarrassing. Even for you, this is embarrassing. This is absolute Boston media mafia.
This is a joke.
Dude, I'm not gonna address them until I get to where they are on my list because that's when they actually deserve to be discussed. Because where you have them right now is just embarrassing.
I have nothing but positive things to say about them. I don't know why you're being so negative. Jimmy, amazing. Bam, amazing for obvious reasons. Both two-way players had a really productive playoff run. Plus one when they're both on the court. Net rating in the postseason, played more minutes than any other duo. That's okay. You know, plus one is not anything to write home about. Plus 4.2 in the regular season. Okay. That's just like,
how about, relatively speaking, okay. Okay. No, I'm not even going to get to it. I'm not going to get to it until I need to get to it because this is a joke.
Okay.
This is an absolute joke.
Okay.
My number seven duo is Giannis and Drew.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on them. You know, that's Giannis doing a lot of the heavy lifting there, certainly. I love Drew Holiday, but I agree. The offense is too inconsistent for them to be higher. Not to mention, again, they've now 1-2, despite as the number one seed against Jimmy and Bam in the playoffs. You put Bam next to a Brooke Lopez, I'm not going to get into it. We'll get into it. But that my number seven is Giannis and Drew. Let's move on to number six.
As I go down here, I want you to tell me which of these duos is just clear cut. And you can make an argument. I'm not like saying that Bam and Jimmy have to be number seven. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a respectable place to put them. That's all.
It's not. Okay.
So all right. Number six is Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
Hey, we're our first Yahtzee or bingo. I got them as number six too.
So I knew this would totally hijack the entire pod.
Of course, yes.
But explain to me why Jimmy and Bam are better than LeBron and Anthony Davis.
First of all, I think Bam is still the best defender in the NBA. And I think it's absurd that you guys had your little click vote Marcus Smart.
Who is you guys?
Defensive player of the year 2 years ago. The people who voted Marcus Smart defensive player of the year 2 years ago. That's you
so
guys.
So over 50 people who do not communicate and vote independently. Okay,
that's continue. A lie. It's you, FanDuel, and the Boston Media Mafia in colluding to get Marcus Smart defensive player of the year. I mean, first of all, LeBron and AD, like, as good as they are, needed multiple roster overhauls to get to where they were last year in the playoffs because they couldn't carry a mismatched roster. You are sitting here. You are chief. I don't believe in the Lakers. You thought their deadline was trash and you picked them to get swept in the first round. So I don't know why you're now all of a sudden being like, oh, LeBron and AD, so good. Like, they've been so inconsistent together, frankly. AD, again, this whole, like, I don't want to play center thing. Like, I just don't think they've maximized each other's talent since that first year together. They're both in and out of the lineup. I have my doubts about both of them being healthy for an entire playoff run. And even though on paper the duo is so tantalizing, like, the results have not been there. So I don't know why they should be any higher. I don't know. They've had less playoff success to me than most of the guys ahead of them. And on a pure talent standpoint, like, LeBron's in year 21. He's still obviously incredible, but I just, if I'm starting a team to win this season, I would rather have all the duos I have ahead of them if I'm trying to win a title, is where it comes down to for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I would say AD was the best defender. You just called Bam the best defender in the NBA. Debatable point. Bam's amazing. Love Bam. AD had the best defensive run in the playoffs. Would you care to quibble? Or he was, like, lights out.
I mean, as,
like,
you
put it, his paint protection was incredible.
As you put it, they played the Memphis Hustle in round one.
They did.
It was your exact words. Did. Okay. They didn't have an actual big man to throw at him. He was fantastic in the Warriors series. There's no question about it. But, like, if Klay Thompson makes two more threes, like, that's a, you know, he was fantastic in the playoffs. There's no question about it. They also, you know.
I recall Bam going up against a 100% healthy Giannis Antetokounmpo for an entire playoff series.
Oh,
a 100%
God.
Healthy Chris Middleton for an entire playoff. I mean, I'm just,
it.
Just
stop
saying.
It. Just stop it.
I'm just saying.
I just am. He is. That's the thing. AD has the potential to be the most destructive defensive force in the NBA, but I don't think he's at that level consistently enough.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. That's fair. I still think when he's healthy and when he's, and to your point, he's not always aggressive, but neither is Bam offensively. Like, if I'm stacking these two guys up next to each other as just basketball players, the ceiling for AD is higher than it is for Bam. That's just,
I agree. And there was a few reasons we thought AD was maybe going to win multiple MVPs, but he just hasn't been that guy. He has not been that guy. And he's doing himself a disservice by this power forward stuff. Like, I get it. It's not easy, but it's part of the problem, too.
And then, like, you know, healthy LeBron. We're assuming all these guys are healthy when we're making these lists, right?
So, for the most part, yes.
So healthy LeBron versus healthy Jimmy is, I'm not saying it's obvious that LeBron's better, because actually, I don't necessarily think that on some days at this stage of their career.
I think Jimmy was a top five regular season player last year. I think his regular season's actually underrated because of how well he played in the playoffs last year. But you look at a lot of the advanced metrics, had Jimmy as, like, a top three guy in the regular season last year when he played.
When he played. That is true.
And but I'd still bet on his health more than LeBron.
Sure. I mean, given the fact that LeBron's about to turn 40,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a fair statement.
Yeah.
I just think, like, you know, I would say, despite how poorly LeBron played in the playoffs, particularly with his outside shooting and AD's, you know, had the jumper in the bubble, then Lord knows what happened to his outside shot. I think these duos are actually really comparable in the fact that they need shooting beside each other. Like, that is, and some of these other lists that I have here, you don't need a lot around to, like, specific tools around the two players that we're talking about to construct a key lineup. So, right. Like, I just think, like, to be fair, you know, Jimmy can hit threes and doesn't really choose to take a ton, and Bam is not a three-point shooter at all. And that's not the be-all, end-all of this conversation, mm-hmm. but I do think that matters a little bit. And the variability of the three-point line was such a big factor in Miami's playoff run too. So,
But it's funny because we both do have them at six. I mean, yes, we can quibble about who we have above and below them, but I do think that's instructive of the fact that, like, I think we both feel like they're leaving some, they've left some stuff on the table over the course of their partnership, I think is the ultimate takeaway from them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it me for five?
Yeah, sure. You want to give me your five?
It's Kawhi and PG.
I mean, yeah, I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
Kawhi's the best. Like, Jokic is actually the best.
You keep letting Kawhi, like, it's, you keep going back to him no matter how poorly he treats you.
I really don't care. Like, I watched the first two games of
Clippers Suns.
Yeah. The first two games. He is like by far. It's not even like, oh my God, like it's a real toe to toe battle here with him and KD, who's KD. He's like top 15 player of all time. And it's like, no, actually, Kawhi's better. Just look, Kawhi is just manhandling this entire team, like doing whatever he wants for two straight games. Like he was the first game in particular, it was just like a masterclass.
Incredible.
It was a masterclass.
Incredible.
And he didn't have PG.
And then you need the SpongeBob a few moments later. It's him in a suit watching the playoffs like it always is. I love them, but I just, can I get one full playoff run from them? Just one before I put them in my top five?
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I just like, I would probably still have, I would have them like two, if it wasn't for all the injuries. So like me dropping them to five is like
got it.
My give back. Yeah.
Right. Are you ready for my number five?
I am.
I have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
It's my fifth best duo in the NBA.
So unlike you, baby, I'm not going to, you know, throw a temper tantrum
I'm
not
going to
say you're dead wrong.
Let me throw something at you in all seriousness.
Yes.
If the Heat and Celtics agreed to trade Jimmy and Bam for Jason and Jaylen, I think it, like, bro.
No, I would not want that.
No. I'm not saying you'd want it. I'm saying, if you gave Jimmy and Bam Tatum and Brown supporting cast, I think they are winning a title easily.
Easily.
Easily. If you put Bam next to Al Horford, if you gave Jimmy the three-point shooting the Celtics had last year instead of what Vincent and Struz, they do.
If you give Jimmy the three... Okay, see, this is like...
They were starting Kevin Love in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Dude, he couldn't even crack the Cavs rotation. I'm just saying, I think that they've done more with less talent over the last 4 years than Brown and Tatum. And I don't think you can argue with that. I really don't.
I am not going to say that... first of all, I will say that people like to have their cake and eat it too when they're analyzing the Celtics and they're saying this and that about the flaws that Marcus Smart has. But, oh, wait, when they trade Marcus Smart, how are they going to... They just lost, like, their leader, like this guy who's just their whole their toughness. But at the same time, mentally weak team. How do you fall down 0-3, drop two home games in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Miami Heat? So I hear a lot of people talking about sides of their mouth when they talk about the Celtics. I didn't know that, like, you know, Derek White was going to the Hall of Fame all of a sudden. He's a really good player.
I mean, you've always loved Derek White, so you've always been high on Derek.
I like all these players, but a lot of them are like, they're role players. And
I get it, but I think White, Smart, Horford, who am I forgetting? White, Smart, Horford, Rob Williams, all these guys I think would be the third best player on the Heat and would have been in that playoff series. Which Heat guy are you taking over them after Jimmy and Bam?
Whatever happened to whatever alien being went into
Caleb Martin's
body? Give me that. no disrespect to him. He's awesome,
of course. And yeah, really listen. Like, but that's another thing. This is a thing that's bothered me about the Heat conversation. People are like, oh, Caleb Martin did XYZ. It's like, is he supposed to miss those shots? Like, I don't get it. It's like, the guy played great. Like, you have to do something about it. Like, this idea that everyone's going to play to their averages all the time is also, I think, to me, like, a silly way to think about it. Like, the three-point shooting is a different conversation. But, you know, it's like, those Caleb Martin games have, they aren't fake. Just because they're, like, atypical doesn't mean they're a fluke necessarily either. I just think Jimmy and Bam have done a lot of heavy lifting with a roster that, frankly, has not been great. Like, Gabe Vincent was obviously very good. Caleb Martin's obviously very good. All these guys were on the scrap heap of the NBA. Strus, Kevin Love. Kevin Love wasn't even in the Cavs rotation anymore. All these guys were on the fringe of the NBA. Yeah, but
they all played well. Like, that's just a narrative. What they actually did on the court was they played really good basketball.
I agree, but
well enough to go to the NBA Finals.
But I think a lot of that has to do with Jimmy and Bam, frankly, and how easy they make.
Those are the two best players.
I just think if you swap them, I think that we're looking at Jimmy and Bam way differently, because I think that if they had, even if you gave Jimmy and Bam Brooke and Middleton, that would be a huge upgrade over what else they have in their rotation.
So they don't get Spo anymore?
I mean, you guys were telling me for years
answer the question. Brad Stevens is not even a coach anymore. So did they get Spo? Do they get to bring Spo and, you know, the versatile defensive genius and the zone? Is that, do they get to have that too? Or a
yes,
coach who will let
Spo,
Bam
yeah.
play point guard? Yeah. Like, all these things. Like, do they get that? Or
yes, they get that. Boston, yes, yes. Maybe it should have been, you know, Jimmy and Spo as the duo, but I think that they've done so much more with so much less than a lot of these teams.
Okay, let's reframe. Pure talent. Jaylen Brown, Jimmy Butler, Jason Tatum, Bam Adebayo. How are you ranking those four players?
I genuinely believe this is not takery. I would take Bam over Jaylen Brown just because of the defensive versatility. And like, people are like, Bam, unaggressive offensively, blah, blah, blah. 20-point-per-game scorer last year. Averaged, compare what he averaged in the finals versus what Jason Tatum averaged in his first finals, by the way. Just throw that out there.
You do understand that the way that the Denver Nuggets defended Bam Adebayo was please shoot the basketball.
And I
agree. That was
not
the way that the Golden State Warriors, a better defensive team, Jason Tatum.
I get it, but people were like, they want Bam to take those shots. He did, and he hit them a lot. They were successful when he was shooting. So, the question here comes down to Jimmy versus Tatum. And I see the argument. I just don't know how you separate them. I really don't. I really don't.
Uh-huh.
I mean, after this year.
I think one's better than the other. But I don't think this is like super obvious. This is not.
That's why I separated
this
them
This isn't
by
Jokic
spot.
Versus Embiid,
yes,
you know?
I agree. This is why I separated them by one spot. And listen, if Brown and Tatum got it done, I would have put them over Bam and Jimmy. No question. I put them over the 2 years ago when we did this. But, dude, Bam and Jimmy, people can talk about the Giannis injury, blah, blah, blah. Jimmy snatched the soul out of that Bucks team. Them making it to the finals as an 8 seed. They've made the finals as a 5th seed and an 8 seed. They're 2-1 against the Bucks now, 2-1 against the Celtics now. The proof's in the results. That's what it is to me. Most playoff wins since 2019. Think about all the guys that teamed up in 2019. LeBron and AD, Kawhi and PG. You know, eventually we get Harden and Embiid. All these playoff duos. Jimmy and Bam, more finals appearances, more playoff wins. And it's never been an easy road for them. Listen, we did this pod last year before that Celtics Heat series. We both did not really think the Heat had a chance. Them pushing it to 7 was unexpected, frankly. And it still came down to that Butler shot. Like, I just think they have overachieved, and therefore I have them over Jalen and Jason.
Number 1 seed, home, game 7.
I get it.
Don't lead for a second, and they're underachieving or overachieving. Okay. No, it's fine. It's not a big deal. Okay.
Celtics, greatest team ever in the second half. Once Rob Williams, blah, blah, blah. Come on, man.
Well, I thought they had this this like flawless supporting cast. Which is it? I don't understand. I'm confused.
They do. That's why okay. They were so good last year, and they made the finals. So even though they only made it because Middleton got hurt. But anyway,
right? Sure.
Who's your? Did you give your number four?
Am I at
already?
Four?
Yeah.
My four is Tatum and Jaylen.
Okay.
Highest paid player in the NBA.
Can we talk about
wants to make Boston the Black Wall Street?
Can we talk about the Brown contract for a second?
I don't really want to, but what would you like to say?
Like, what did people think was going to happen? Like, what was the freaking alternative? Like, okay, Jaylen Brown, we're going to
trade
you.
Please take less money. Yeah,
right? Everyone get a grip. You know how the NBA works. People are like, you're going to give Jaylen Brown the highest contract in NBA history until the next guy signs, like, 2 months from now. Like, just stop. Like, here's what I would say. The idea of breaking them up when they are also, like, one game seven away from having the most playoff wins or most finals appearances last 2 years, like, just give me a break. Yes, the team is very good. They lost to the freaking Warriors in the finals. Like, as much as I think Bam and Jimmy genuinely deserve to be ahead of them on this list, the discourse around Brown and Tatum, absurd. And I say that as someone who has no respect for the Boston media mafia.
No, you don't.
But the way people talk about them is just, it's silly. It's actually silly.
Well, that was big of you coming from someone who has spent months texting me that Jaylen Brown was out of here and he had played his last game with the Celtics when the season ended.
He's not finishing this contract in Boston.
That's a different question.
It's just the real question is if him and Tatum go to the Lakers together or if they stagger it a bit.
Just ridiculous.
Isn't Jaylen Brown in the big three? Does he even still play in the NBA?
He's the best player in the history of the Big Three. You better recognize. Yeah. So before we move on, so you're saying that you think Jimmy's better than Tatum. Is that what you think right now at this point in time? The guy who finished fourth in the MVP vote is not as good as Jimmy Butler? I'm just trying to get you on the record.
Yes, I'm going to own it. Give me Butler over Tatum. Okay. When Jimmy Butler hit the timeout on Al Horford, I know you were just dead on the inside. I know that your life was flashing before your eyes.
No, I was dead on the inside when Tatum sprained his ankle and was the only reason the Miami Heat won that basketball game. That's it.
Yeah,
that's why.
Win one of your first two home games then. Just win one of those. Just win one of those. How about
that? That's cool. No, it's fine.
When the Celtics won game six on one of the luckiest shots in NBA history, they should be thankful that there is even a game seven for Tatum to sprain his ankle in.
How many hours of sleep have you lost thinking about when Jokic was sitting on the bench in foul trouble and like the fully formed Miami Heat at home, biggest quarter of the season, just couldn't get it done and were just cooked by Aaron Gordon and Bruce Brown and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? I'm just wondering how many hours of sleep you've lost this summer thinking about that situation.
Zero, because the Nuggets were my finals pick, and I did a story on every one of those players that you mentioned in the last year.
Okay, fine,
so
that's fair.
Thrilled for my personal agenda.
So your number four is Jimmy and Bam. Bam? Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, my number, you want to give your number three or you want me to go?
I'll do it.
I think I'm going to switch my number three and two now that I think about it. So give me your number three.
Oh, geez. My number three is Kevin Durant and Devin Booker.
Same. My new number three is Kevin Durant and Devin Booker.
Flipping it to any other way would have been too spicy for me personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, haven't really played a lot together. Mm-hmm. Their net rating in the playoffs, do you want to guess what it was in 416 minutes together?
I have no clue. What was it?
Minus 0.2.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it is unfortunate that they ran into the Nuggets. Also, I keep seeing this, and I've seen you be one of these people peddle this take. Yeah. The Wolves are the team that challenged the Nuggets to most.
It's true.
Do the Suns get no credit for winning two games?
It's fact. I don't care.
Do the Suns get no credit for winning the most games against Denver?
You got to watch the games, though. Watch the games, which team competed more. Let me just say this. Jaden McDaniels did not play in that series.
Yes,
Nasri did not play in that series. Jaden McDaniels, They had no one. They had Nikhil Alexander Walker guarding Jamal Murray.
No,
getting
fair,
destroyed
fair,
in crunch time.
Fair.
And all those games were very competitive, close. Or most yes, of them yes. in the fourth quarter. One of them going into overtime. So the Minnesota Timberwolves were.
Yes, yes. But I'm not saying that's a wrong take. I'm just saying people really gloss over the fact that the Suns took two games off of them. And also, Devin Booker was insane. That was,
he was on another planet.
Most unbelievable playoff series I've seen from someone.
Now, let me tell you the worst take out of the playoffs of all time, from last year's playoffs, is that the Los Angeles Lakers were competitive in a four-game sweep. That's the worst take
everyone
has. So I just want to put that on record before we move on.
There was no point in those four games where I was like, the Lakers got this one.
No, absolutely not. So yeah, I have KD, Book, you know. Not overthinking it. Booker is the best two guard in the NBA.
Who do you have right now in Booker versus Tatum?
Booker versus Tatum? Yeah. I personally like Tatum. Mm-hmm. I think he brings more to the game in terms of rebounding and defense than Devin Booker does.
Does Jason Tatum have a son? They never mentioned this on the broadcast. Do you know if he has a kid?
The amount that you text and talk to me about Young Deuce is honestly
it pales in comparison to the amount that he's mentioned on national
cute
TV
child podcast. He's a cute
it's
child
like the,
what do you want me
like
to say
first NBA player to ever have a child apparently all right
I he's think just a great father.
I think our top two are going to be the same here.
I hope so.
Number two, I have Steph and Draymond.
Yes.
Okay, thank God.
Who do you think you were talking to?
I didn't know. It could have been like Kawhi and Norm Powell, because they Steph and Draymond, man. I'm so glad Draymond re-signed. I love that Mike Dunleavy took over and was like, enough of this two timeline stuff. I'm trading for Chris Paul. I'm re-signing Draymond. Like, let's go get it. I think that they're saying all the things this year that make me feel like they're gonna have a big season. And I think that if they stay healthy, I think we're going to get some like equilibrium back in the Western Conference, which was kind of wonky last year. Like the Clippers, Warriors, and Lakers all had just a lot of upheaval, injuries, etc. Like I think we're going to be in for a great top half of the West race this year, and I might be ready to bet Warriors for a championship.
Championship, wow.
Yeah.
I
really want to see the Warriors and Nuggets playoff series with both teams at full strength.
That would be amazing. I have these two here because it's really, you know, it's really interesting before we, I just, first of all, it should be obvious that we shouldn't even need to explain why these two are where they are on this list. Mm-hmm. But I will say, if you were to go, I'm doing this off the top of my head right now as I just look at my list, but if I were to take all 20 players that we have, where would Draymond be individually on this list, do you think?
In the bottom five, right? Like, I think he's better than Sabonis.
Oh, I don't even have Sabonis. So right. For me, it's like Drew.
Yeah.
Harden. I guess, I don't know. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is better, honestly.
It's just the alchemy of the two of them together is
you can't
incredible.
Argue with it.
Incredible. And I'm the point I like have been trying to make with some people over the years is at the end of the day, the offense is more important, but what Steph does for their offense is what Draymond does for their defense.
Mm-hmm.
Is he makes it go. And it's, I still think the last guy who's had success guarding Jokic in a playoff series.
Well, if you know, success is to be defined in one's own way. But yes, I don't think anyone's ever had success guarding Jokic in a playoff series. But he did a really good job, I will say, for sure. I think Jokic averaged like 30, 12, and 9 or something crazy in that series. But with Monte Morris as his second best teammate. But
yes.
But yeah, like, no, I mean, Draymond is a transcendent player on that end. total short-circuiter of offensive game plans. And I mean, the reason, like, that all goes without saying, the reason that I have them here is just like their pick and roll is,
yeah,
is it. That's it. No, there's no guarding it. Like, watching the, I guess, like, watching the Lakers try to deal with it was really fascinating. And I thought the Lakers did like a really good job for throughout stretches of that series. I don't think that they ever like were super confident in how they were guarding it. And I think, like, you know, obviously they had to flip things around. They use Gary Payton II as the screener, and they have to, you know, make their adjustments. But, like, that series was really competitive in a lot of ways, and it was, like, one Lonnie Walker fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That's, like, the difference. So, like,
yeah,
I don't think they solved anything. I think they're still super dangerous. The Warriors are. And if you look at their bench real quick, like, not, we don't have to make this a Warriors pod, but, like,
no, I wanted to ask you about it.
I was, like, looking over just, you know, rosters and stuff to get reacquainted with the NBA. And, I forgot they have Dario Saric. I was like, yeah. Oh, my God. This like, they can play, have a 10-man rotation with an all-bench mob that's, like, really like
Chris Paul,
dynamic.
Gary Payton, Saric.
Saric, and then you have Moody and Kuminga. Yeah.
Right.
So just, like, not a lot of shooting there, not a lot of size, but, like, really, that's a really interesting group that I think can play and do, like, a lot of damage.
Being able to just run Chris Paul pick and rolls as a bench thing for them this year is going to be huge. I know this is whole... Chris Paul apparently still is not really bought into, or I shouldn't say bought into, but...
He's coming off the bench.
He's coming off the bench.
He has to. Yeah. Like, just look at the quintet of Looney, Wiggins, Green, Clay, Steph. Like, yeah, sorry, that's the starting five. Like,
best starting five last year too. They just didn't play together a ton. I'm very fascinated to see Paul with them and see how many games he closes and how their closing lineups, etc. But man, I'm so glad we have Steph and Draymond for at least another 3 years. It seems like. Let's talk about our number one duo, which is obviously Jokic and Murray.
Derek White and Rob Williams.
Yeah. Isn't it? the best Damn. Trade package for Damian Lillard. Are the Nuggets still the title favorites for you?
It's a great question. I would slot them in as the favorite, but I would say that they are eminently beatable. Last year, I didn't feel that they were beatable. Like, I just thought that they were clearly the best.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, when they're healthy, they're the best. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Bruce Brown, really important player. And I know...
On both ends of the floor.
Yeah, a lot of talk about, you know, how they'll slide. Christian Brown or, you know, they re-sign Reggie Jackson to this
deal. That was crazy. Like, that was nuts.
And they have a lot of other young
Peyton
guys
Watson
in the pipeline.
Is a guy people think can be pretty good, but he's not a Jeff Green replacement. Jeff Green was also hit a huge shots for them in that playoff run.
He was big. He was really versatile. I just think, like, at the end of the day, fundamentally why we have this duo as number one is because it almost doesn't matter what is around them. When they're both on the court, they are a wrecking ball, and they can beat you in so many different ways, like, randomly. It's impossible to defend them. They know each other better than any two teammates in the NBA besides Steph and Draymond. They work better, arguably better, offensively than those two. And, like, you don't even need great spacing. You don't need, like, there's so much stuff you don't need because of how brilliant Jokic is and all the ways he can kill you. And then, like, Murray's shot creation in the playoffs was just like
he won them game three of the finals. He won them game three of the finals. I've been every NBA player I've spoken to this summer, you know, I'm working on a couple stories for our preview issue. At the end of every interview, I've said, can I ask you a question? I'm sure. How would you stop Jokic? What's the way to stop Jokic? No one's had an answer. No NBA player I've talked to has had an answer. I'm like, still figuring it out. Gotta find a way. Otherwise, he's just that good. Like, you know, like some guys are just that good. Some teams are just that good. I don't know how you're going to do it. Like, it's going to have to be degradation of the supporting cast. And that's where they are. I mean, who's their backup center? Is it going to be Zeke Nagy?
In the playoffs, it's Aaron Gordon.
Yeah.
Right?
So this is the next five on their depth chart right now. It's Reggie Jackson, Christian Brown, Justin Holliday, Peyton Watson, Zeke Nagy. I don't know, man.
Well, what I will say about them
But the reason that they are still, you could argue, title favorites is because of how good Jokic and Murray are.
Absolutely. And I don't think they're chomping at the bit to break up the core pieces that helped them win a title. But, you know, people, you know, it's September, right? Like, at the trade deadline, we'll see what happens if they need to make a move.
You're saying MPJ's out of there?
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, you know, you're it's saying, just like, you don't know.
MPG, get ready to learn Chinese, buddy. That's what you're... I'm kidding.
No, you just don't know this far out. But, yeah, the way that these two, and in particular Jokic, elevates everyone around him, like, they're just, mm-hmm. they're super special. And it is, like, I just think that the gap is not they're going to go 16-4 in the playoffs again, because mm-hmm. the Suns are like really good. Like,
what do you make of the Suns?
I think they're really good. I think you have these two absolute transcendent offensive talents, just get buckets against any coverage you want, and then you add Brad Beal to that equation, and that should be one of the best offenses in the history of the NBA. I know there's no point guard, but like, you've got veteran savvy. You've got guys who should be looking to sacrifice. You have Ayton, who we'll see what happens there. Eric Gordon is the fifth guy in closing playoff lineups. Like, really love that. I generally like the supporting, like, isn't Bol Bol in Phoenix? Just wild talent upgrade versus what was there last year when they lost in six to the Nuggets. So I just think that they've improved dramatically. You have a season of failure together, which will tighten.
Well, you have a couple weeks of failure together. I don't know that you have a
sure, but
a season. You have a few games,
right? But it was better than one of the reasons why I thought everyone who picked the Suns was like, "What are you guys talking about?" Was because it's like, you don't just come into the playoffs and win four playoff series. Like, that's not how it works. So, I think their failure will spur them. We'll see what Frank Vogel can do to the defense. Can he get through to Ayton? That'll be really fascinating subplot. I like them a lot. Can I give you my hot take?
Please.
I'm not talking about winning the title, so don't get me wrong. But team that can finish top four in the regular season, and then we'll see what happens. Minnesota Timberwolves.
Okay, I thought you were about to say the Suns, and I was like, this is the worst hot take ever.
No.
The Suns might... You're high on the Wolves? Why?
I think the Timberwolves are like, they could be so, so good. Like, so good. You have the Ant Leap, right?
The Ant who just got knocked out of FIBA by Dennis Schroeder and Daniel
Tice. That's because Austin Reeves can't guard anybody. That's because Austin Reeves can't guard anybody. No, Ant is going to be, I mean, he'll contend for an All-NBA team this year. Mm-hmm. He's that good. You have
They just have the most unserious front court, maybe ever.
No, unlikable. Fine, sure.
Unserious? Yes.
Maybe we can use this to jump into the honorable mentions conversation to wrap things up.
Okay.
So I actually had Ant and Cat as my number 10 for a while, and I swapped them out kind of at the last second because, like, when you talk about complimentary people, like stars and talents, like, that pick and roll right there just has so much – it's like oozes potential, and we didn't really get to see it last season.
But did you not feel like they kind of made more sense last year when Cat wasn't in the lineup?
No, I don't think that at all.
I feel like that was when Edwards started playing better.
By necessity, perhaps, but what's better for Edwards is not necessarily better for the basketball team, as we just saw with Team USA when he's playing home run derby in his basketball. No, I think that they're like, I love their supporting cast. Love so many of those pieces. Love their depth. I just think that they were hurt last year. I thought D'Angelo Russell was just a terrible piece there. You have a really good starting five. If you look at the lineup data, with the foursome of Ant, Cat, Gobert, and Jaden McDaniels, when those four played, like their defensive rating was amazing last season, and they actually played more minutes than I think you'd suspect. And I love Chris Finch. I think he's one of the best coaches, period, in the league. And they were really just marred by injuries and dysfunction last year in a lot of ways that were hard to overcome. I don't necessarily think that it was more impressive for them to win a playoff game than the Denver Nuggets winning the NBA title, as Kat has said on a podcast forum. But
very serious thing to say from a
but
very
I do,
serious person.
I do think that just like a lot of people thought last year was the year that they would be like, oh, they're going to be amazing on the in the regular season. I feel like that's this year. I think they're going to be a really good regular season team. And so that's
I'll give you credit for this, because 2 years ago, you were kind of like, I think the Wolves can be really good. And you were early on the McDaniels hype, which
he's
going to
be amazing.
Out. Yeah. So I just look at him as like, I don't think they're going to be better than the Suns. I don't think they're going to be better than the Clippers. I don't think they're going to be better than the Warriors. I don't think they're going to be better than the Nuggets. And I don't think they'll be better than the Lakers.
Lakers, no. Stop.
You are just
pause
so
the program.
So blinded by disgust and hatred for the Lakers, that I mean, you have LeBron and AD as one of your top 10 duos, and yet
I say that to throw everybody off the scent. That's my strategy. Can I just run through my honorable mentions?
Yes, please, please, please.
Okay, so I had Ant and Cat. This is in no particular order. De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis. DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine.
Really?
Honorable mentions. These are honorable mentions, dog. Like, what do you want from me?
But now you're just listing duos if you throw them in there.
I have nine.
Get out of here, man. You're just picking a duo from every team at
this
point.
Dude, they're two multiple-time All-Stars. Like, what do you want from me?
Okay,
like,
whatever. That one's, invalid.
You'll love the next two, then. Trae Young and DeJounte Murray.
Unserious.
Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero.
That one's a good one. That one's a good one.
Okay. That's a good one?
They can hoop. They can hoop. I would take Franz and Paolo next year over Trey and DeJounte.
I mean, that's fair. Sure.
Yeah.
Paolo is a mate. Like, truly. I mean, they're both just. Yeah. They're great. So I have Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley was my.
Okay.
That was my tandem. Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle.
Come on. Jalen Brunson and blank.
Okay, so I'm saving my best
Jalen
for last.
Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart.
I'm saving my best for last. The one that the people who are still listening are probably screaming at us to say. The next one, second to last, Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson.
Okay, I was going to ask specifically, what did you think about the Pelicans for this exercise? Because last year when I did this with Andrew Sharp, he put them number one, which was actually very inspired and I respected. Over under 50 games, 50 more games for Zion Williamson in a Pelicans uniform.
Like, what do you mean? This season?
And for the rest of his career, will Zion Williamson play over under 50 games for the New Orleans Pelicans?
Over.
Okay. You know, you're unfazed by the Zion trade hype this summer?
I think people forget how good he is. If I was a GM and I traded Zion,
I mean
they were
in the one seed last year when they were healthy, when he was healthy, the whole team.
He's entirely unstoppable. Like, just stop.
Agreed.
Like,
yeah.
He's
I just can't get a read on the dynamics there. I really cannot.
He's who everyone thinks Giannis is. No, I'm absolutely kidding. Please, to Shelby, don't break that one out. Okay, so this is the last honorable mention I have, and this is the one where I think like I honestly think there were no disrespect to the listeners, but. I think that there were listeners who, when we were like, oh, you know, exhaling about who we had number one, that this is the duo that a lot of people thought we were going to say. Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving.
Oh, get out of here. Oh, my God. I didn't even consider them for a second. For what? I mean,
there's a lot of crazies out there, my friend.
I looked this up. I have it here. But their net rating together was like so unspectacular. And listen, that roster needed
They
work.
Missed the play-in. They right. missed the play-in.
And, like, what did they do this summer to upgrade? I mean, I do love Grant Williams.
Grant Williams, baby. Hell yeah.
I think that's actually, like, an inspired move, but they had a 4.5 net rating with Luka and Kyrie together, which is solid, but it's not, like...
That's actually better than Bam and Jimmy.
Unbeatable duo, but...
It's better than Bam and Jimmy. Just got thrown out there. It's no big deal. It's okay.
Don't get upset. I'm not. I mean, listen, okay. The one team missed the play and the other one made the final. So I'm not sweating it. Yeah, that the fact that they've hitched Luka to Kyrie is like if I pitched that to Cuban in the Shark Tank, he'd be like, I'm like, Mark, for $40 million a year, I'm asking you to pair this point guard who was suspended for an anti-Semitic controversy and has blown up every team he's ever played for. Can I get you to sign off on that? Like, he's out immediately. You know what I mean? Now, you know, maybe Mr. Wonderful offers me some kind of debt loan situation on that offer, but Cuban's out. Cuban's out if I pitch that to him in the tank.
It's tough. It's tough, and at the same time, I'm not saying I'm talking myself into this duo, because I'm definitely not. I'll never talk myself into this duo. I am talking myself into lean cut Luka, like just destroying the NBA this season. I'll talk myself into that. And it felt honestly like he's so good that I wanted to put him on the list. It was right. like with Giannis
Last year,
and Embiid.
I think 2 years ago we maybe did that.
He's like, just he's so good. Good.
Yes,
he's so good.
But where do you like, have? Where do the Mavs
watch Slovenia? In? Like what? The yeah. fact that Slovenia is like hanging with well, Canada, and then when they lose, people are like, "Shea's better." I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, sure, he's no Goran Dragic when it comes to international hoops. But where do you?
No, I saw that actually. Goran Dragic might be a point guard option for the Miami Heat this season. Did you see that report? I'm not even kidding. That was an actual thing that was published in a newspaper.
He's going to be the new Udonis in the newspaper. Okay.
It was in a newspaper. It was in the local Miami newspapers.
Where do you have the Mavs finishing in the West?
It's a good question. Haven't thought about it. I would think that they make the play-in, at least. I would hope. I'm pro Rockets right now. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I'm intrigued by the Rockets, bro.
Let's go. Like,
I kinda
I'm so,
wish they did get Brook Lopez too.
I'm so like, Dylan Brooks pilled. Like if Brook Lopez was on the team, I would like seriously yeah, yeah. have Dylan
like,
Brooks 14, and,
yeah, home court in the first like, round.
I love Şengün like more than he's one of my favorite players in the whole league.
Oh my like, god. So this is why I have to sound like I'm a Şengün hater because the hype is out of control, but he is very good. I defensively, it's going to be interesting now that there's a little bit of expectation on them to win.
Let me stop you right there. There is no expectation on
let
them
to win.
Let me
put it this way. Teams are going to take them a little bit more seriously now that they have Van Vliet and Brooks.
Okay.
And I'm interested to see how guys like Jalen Green, Jabari Smith, and Şengün respond to that. But they're starting five on paper. Those five guys, kind of sick. Kind of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
If Jabari makes a leap,
right.
like
Ooh,
a summer league style leap,
yeah. whew,
could be fun.
Yeah.
Trade Jalen Green, see what you can get.
Okay, well, I'm not getting back into all that. I don't want you to get in trouble. I don't want you to issue any public apologies here. Let Jalen Green cook. On that note, Mike, I appreciate you joining, even though once again your list left a lot to be desired.
I am the father of this exercise. I cannot be wrong.
And it's like you're the Oppenheimer meme now. Mike, everyone can continue to read your work over at The Ringer. You're doing a great job. I'm excited to read your breakdown of this USA Germany game over there. You know, I'm very excited about it for sure.
Hell yeah.
Looking forward to hopefully doing this podcast again when we get Heat Celtics 4 in the playoffs this year, buddy.
What's happening with Dame? What's the prediction?
It's going to happen. It's going to happen just because...
What's the package?
I need to see Shelby's reaction. Well, they obviously can't trade Jovic now, so it's going to have to be... Hero, Lowry, two first round picks. Sorry, Cronin. That's the way the Chuckley crumbles sometime, you know?
What's your take on the new Olivia Rodrigo album?
I have not listened to a new album in 2 years, 3 years.
Are we still recording? What's going
on? Yeah.
Get 15% off a set of Brake Best Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.